Hey guys, welcome to the 330 Sports Show. Today is Thursday, December 8th, 2022. On today's show, we're going to get into a little bit of recap of the Browns-Texans game. We're going to talk about the Browns-Bengals upcoming game this weekend. I'm also going to give you the NFL best bets for the weekend, as well as Ohio State and Georgia going to match up in the college football playoff. We'll talk about some hypothetical scenarios, a 6-team hypothetical bracket, a 12-team in 2024, what that would look like. We'll also check in with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and we will check in with the Cleveland Guardians as well. So thanks again for tuning into Youngstown Studio and the 330 Sports Show. With that said, let's go. So let's start a little bit on the past weekend's game. Obviously, the return of Deshaun Watson, 27-14 victory over Houston. This was the first game in Cleveland Browns history where they score three non-offensive touchdowns in the game. So three touchdowns, two field goals in this game. You had the Donovan Peoples-Jones punt return touchdown. You had two defensive touchdowns as well over, let's face it, a really bad Houston Texans team. Was this a pretty game? Absolutely not. But you get out of there with a win in Deshaun Watson's debut, his first game in 700 days. And the rust was very, very apparent for most of the game. Now, he did show some flashes of life, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But, you know, again, the Browns take care of business. They get to 5-7 and, you know, still clinging to a playoff possibility with stringing along some wins together here. So in victory, we like to hand out game balls. These are the game balls for last Sunday's game. First of all, Nick Chubb, who this was the first game that the Browns won where he rushes less than 20 times. So the Browns are now 1-7 in those games. 17 rushes, 80 yards, 4.7 yards per carry. An average game, if you want to say that, for Nick Chubb. Most running backs would be, this would be a career day for them. But for Nick Chubb, just another day at the office and maybe a below average day at the office. Let's give credit to Kareem Hunt here too. 9 carries, 56 yards. Which is over 6 yards a carry. 2 catches also for 18 yards. This was his best game probably since game one. So Kareem Hunt comes back and looks pretty good with the addition of Deshaun Watson to the team. Obviously, Donovan Peoples-Jones, 3 catches, 44 yards. He also had 3 punt returns for 86 yards in this game, not to mention the one huge touchdown, which was the Browns' first punt return touchdown since 2015, a 76-yarder. And I believe that was Travis Benjamin that returned that touchdown, if I'm not mistaken. Sione Taki-Taki, want to give credit to him. This guy has stepped up and become one of the Browns' best tacklers, not to mention the best run stoppers on the year, playing the middle linebacker position. But unfortunately, he tore his ACL in this game, and just a tough loss for the Browns going forward. So we wish him well, and hopefully the Browns can bring him back next year, as this was the last year of his rookie contract. Also want to single out Tony Fields Jr. He was a draft pick last year. Hasn't seen the field a ton more than special teams, but he's going to now. He's going to get plenty of opportunity with a lot of the linebacker core banged up. So Tony Fields in this game, 3 tackles, a forced fumble that led to a touchdown, an interception, and also a touchdown off of that interception. So a great game by Tony Fields, and it was really cool. Someone threw the ball. I don't know if it was him or someone else threw the ball up in the stands, and his dad caught it, but he dove over like 3 rows of people to catch the ball. It was just a really cool scene. So if you haven't seen that, go check that out. And then this is a rare game ball to give out, but I'm going to give it up to Corey Bohorquez. He has been a great punter this year for the Browns. And I know that's not like the sexy thing to say, but a lot of his punts pinned the Texans back, which led to those defensive touchdowns. So 6 punts on the day for 311 yards, which is a 52-yard average. 4 of those 6 punts inside the 20. And, you know, a job that doesn't give a whole lot of credit is the holder on kicks. And he is the holder for Cade York field goals. And Cade York went 2 for 2 in this game. So shout out to Corey Bohorquez with a game ball last weekend versus the Texans. So the Browns have won 2 games in a row, first time since early in the 2021 season that they've won 2 back-to-back games. Now, can they string together some more wins? That remains to be seen. You have 2 big divisional games coming up in 3 of your last 5 against division opponents. You got the Bengals in Cincinnati this weekend. You have the Ravens at home, which is now flexed to a Saturday game. You also have the Saints at home, which is Christmas Eve. Then you're at Washington on, I think that's New Year's Day, and then at Pittsburgh to round out the season in the last week. Now let's talk about Deshaun Watson. Again, first game in 700 days. He's usually a career 68% passer, but had his struggles against his former team. And I'm sure there had to be a lot of jitters, a lot of emotion, and frankly, just a lot of rust getting back out on the field. Now, I know the off the field stuff. We know his contract is huge and what he got paid. So people are expecting a lot really fast, and that's understandable. But I don't think we can expect perfection in the first game in 700 days. So just imagine you're any job and you take 2 years off and you get right back into it. You're not going to be the exact same person. You know, imagine a surgeon, taking 2 years off with not, doing an actual surgery. You know, it might be a little rusty. So you want perfection, but it's going to take a little bit of time. 12 of 22 for about 55% on Sunday versus his former team. Only 131 yards, no touchdowns, and threw that interception in the end zone. Also had 7 rushes for 21 yards. Again, did show flashes of what we know he can be. But, you know, there's a lot to improve upon. But improving upon it in a win is the way to go there. So we'll see how he improves from week 1 to week 2 and how he matches up versus the Bengals. So let's take a look at the AFC North last week and now this week. So the Ravens, they had a banged up Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson last week. So his status right now, I'm not sure if he's going to play or not. But last week, it took a last-minute touchdown to secure a 10-9 victory over the Denver Broncos. And we know that Denver Broncos are not a very good team this year. This week, they play the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we know that that game is always just a brutal game. So we'll see Lamar Jackson's status, if he's able to go. The Steelers are playing some good football lately, so we'll see. That game is always just a brutal matchup for both teams. Just bodies flying around, good defensive efforts and whatnot. So we will we'll see how that game unfolds. The Bengals and the Browns. So this week you have 4 teams in the AFC North playing and only 2 games because they're matching up against each other. The Battle of Ohio this time will take place down south. The Browns won 32-13 in the first matchup. And but the Bengals coming off arguably their best win of the season, 27-24 over the Chiefs. They host the Browns this week. last week, the Browns put up 27 as well. Not quite as impressive 27 against the Houston Texans, but this weekend they will travel down to Cincinnati in the Battle of Ohio. And as we mentioned, the Steelers last week beat the Falcons, and they will take on the Baltimore Ravens this weekend. Now, these are the kind of stats I love. I want to give credit to Dollar Dog Nick on Twitter. I believe he works for the Big Play Network, and he put this stat out on Twitter, and I want to give him credit. But we had mentioned the Kevin Stefanski versus animals that do not fly stat. And, you know, obviously they lost to, I believe he started 11-0 and then dropped two games in a row against the Dolphins and the Bills. This week, we have a matchup, dogs versus cats. And Kevin Stefanski is 8-0 all time as the Browns head coach versus cat teams. So 5-0 against the Bengals, 1-0 this year against the Panthers, beat the Lions last year, and previously to this has beaten the Jaguars. So 8-0, you add that up. And so let's hope the dogs are still greater than the cats this coming weekend. So I'm going to do this, the Browns offense versus the Bengals defense, and then we're going to go the Bengals offense versus the Browns defense by the numbers. So the Browns offense by the numbers, 24 points a game, which is 10th best in the league, versus the Bengals defense, which gives up about 21 points a game, which is 13th best. Yardage, the Browns offense puts up about 371 yards a game, which is 8th best. The Bengals are allowing 330 yards, which is 12th best in the league. The Browns rushing attack is 4th best at about 156. The Bengals are allowing 114 yards on the ground, which is 15th best in the league. The passing attack, the Browns are all the way up to 9th, which is pretty crazy. 215 yards per game. And the Bengals basically allow that same exact number at 216 yards per game. All right, now let's flip it and let's go the Bengals offense versus the Browns defense. The Bengals, 26 points per game scoring, which is 7th best in the league. The Browns are defense is allowing 25 points a game, which is 27th best. So if you take those two numbers, let me just go back one screen here. The Browns are putting up about 24 points a game. The Bengals are putting up about 26 points a game, again, against different opponents and whatnot. But you take those averages, should be in for a competitive game here this weekend. The Bengals offense moves the ball well. They are 6th best in the league, 370 plus yards per game. The Browns defense gives up about 340 yards per game. The rushing offense for the Bengals, not great, but slightly over 100 yards per game. And the Browns defense, we know, has been much maligned this season, but improved of late. They are 21st in the league with giving up about 127 yards per game on the ground. In the passing attack, we know Cincinnati is going to be formidable with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. They throw for about 272 yards a game, and the Browns defense, right in the middle there, about 215 yards per game, through the air. So should be a good matchup. For whatever reason, the Browns defense matches up really well against the Bengals offense. Myles Garrett gets after, Joe Burrow usually in these games, and the Browns have had, the Bengals number. So hopefully they can keep that up over the weekend. All right, so let's just check out the lines right now. I did not get an updated number on the over-under. I'll check that out real quick here. But the Bengals, as of this recording, were 6-point favorites, which puts them minus 250 on the money line, and the Browns about 2-1 on the underdog money line. And I just did a quick check. It's about 47.5 is the over-under for this weekend's game. So, again, as I mentioned, the Browns took care of business 32-13. That was on Halloween night back in Cleveland and dominated the Bengals, their best game of the season. So, again, we'll see how they match up you know, week to week is very different in the NFL, but the Browns, for whatever reason, have had the Bengals number, and hopefully they can keep that going forward. All right, I'm going to give you my picks this weekend for the entire NFL. Again, these are straight up. Last week went 9-5-1, 104, 58-1 for the season. Thursday night, Baker Mayfield. We didn't talk about him, but got released from the Carolina Panthers, picked up by the LA Rams. Could very well play in this game tonight. But for that reason, I'm going with the Raiders. They're playing some good football. The Rams could be one of the worst Super Bowl winning teams the following year. You know, they're banged up. Stafford out, Cooper Kupp out, Aaron Donald out. So, you know, no OBJ, stuff like that. So, just a banged up team and an unfortunate thing, but hey, they got their ring and they can move on. But Raiders, tonight on Thursday night. I'm also going to take the Vikings. I'm going to take the Steelers to upset the Ravens. And if Lamar Jackson's not playing, I'm not sure how much of an upset that is, but, I'm going to go with them. I'm going to go with the Browns, over the Bengals. I just, until the Bengals can beat the Browns, you know, they've lost, I believe, six in a row. I'm going to keep going with the Browns in that one. I like the Bills over the Jets in an AFC East game. Cowboys over the Texans. I think the Cowboys over the Texans big. I think the Eagles-Giants game is going to be real good, but I'm going to go with the Eagles in that game. The Titans to take care of the Jaguars in an AFC South battle. The Chiefs all over the Broncos this weekend. I'm going to go with the Seahawks over the Panthers, the 49ers over the Bucks. I'm going to go with the Dolphins over the Chargers and the Patriots over the Cardinals. And six teams this week on bye. There was only two last week, six this week. The Commanders, the Colts, the Chicago Bears, the New Orleans Saints, Green Bay Packers, and Atlanta Falcons. So those are my picks for this week. And let's just take one more look at the AFC standings going forward. So here's a look at right now at the AFC standings as they stand. You have the Bills, Ravens, Titans, and Chiefs in the 1-4 spots. Then the wild card, the Bengals right now would be the fifth seed at 8-4. The Dolphins, also 8-4, would be the sixth seed, and the Jets would be the seventh seed at 7-5. In the hunt, you still got the Patriots at 6-6, the Chargers at 6-6, the Raiders are right there at 5-7, who started awful and they've come back from the dead, and the Browns at 5-7. Also, the Steelers at 5-7. Those are the teams left. So 12 out of the 16 teams still alive. Now, mathematically speaking, I believe the Texans are the only team technically eliminated, but I'm crossing off the Colts, Jaguars, Broncos, and Texans. I just don't think they have any hope to, you know, get back in the race, especially the Colts, Jags, and Broncos with the Texans fully out of it. All right, so let's switch from the NFL to college football. Let's get into Ohio State, the Buckeye notes, and some college football news and notes. So as everyone knows by now, Ohio State is in the college football playoff. It will be number one Georgia, the defending champs, versus the number four Buckeyes of Ohio State. And then in the other game, the other semifinal, you're going to have the number two Michigan Wolverines, champions of the Big Ten, versus the number three TCU Horned Frogs, who did not win the Big 12. They lost their title game, but getting in as, you know, they were 12-0 previous to their conference championship game, lose 31-28 in overtime. So they deservedly so get in as one of the top four teams in college football. Jackson Smith and Jigbo will not be able to play in the college football playoff. Just really an unfortunate thing. Set so many records last year for Ohio State and really has only played a handful of snaps this entire year, dealing with a hamstring injury. He is not a guaranteed first-round pick, but should be a first-round pick, but could slide to round two. But I think any team that picks him up in the NFL is going to get a steal there if he slips to late first round or early second round. The Ohio State offensive coordinator, former Indiana head coach Kevin Wilson, is now named the head coach at Tulsa. He will, however, remain with Ohio State as long as they are still alive in the college football playoffs. So hopefully Tulsa will get its new coach sometime middle of January after the championship game. That's, you know, fingers crossed on that one. Heisman finalists, that will be this coming weekend. Stitz and Bennett. Love Doug Le Maurice's the way he does his Stetson Bennett impression. If you haven't heard him do it, it's worth a listen. CJ Stroud, obviously from Ohio State. This will be the fifth Ohio State player to be in the top 10 back-to-back years or two separate times. Max Duggan of TCU and Caleb Williams, probably the favorite to win this from USC. The transfer portal is now open. Tons of players have been heading in to the portal. It's, you know, I'm not even going to try to analyze it because there's just going to be so much movement over the next, you know, few weeks. So we'll touch on that in a future date once we know more and, you know, see more who Ohio State, Youngstown State, you know, teams that we care about a little bit more. Are affected by that. And then finally, Deion Sanders, primetime, took over at Jackson State, did a really nice job there. Obviously a flashy head coach, an outspoken head coach, gets named the head coach at Colorado with the Buffaloes and hoping to bring that program back to prominence as he has, you know, they've struggled, but he's done a nice job. But we'll see what Deion Sanders can do as the head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes. So the memes were flying around last weekend watching these college football championship games. Utah just dominates USC in the second half, and Ohio State fans just coming back from the dead. You know, you lose to Michigan in the last game, and rightfully so. A lot of fans were really bummed out, which, again, rightfully so. But, you know, Utah, you know, it's funny because Ohio State played Utah very first game, January 1st in the Rose Bowl, and in an epic game. And they do the Buckeyes a favor, helping them get it back into the college football playoff, giving them new life, you know, with that beatdown of USC. And, you know, USC drops the ball again, lets Ohio State back in and comes back from the dead. Georgia took care of business in their title game. Michigan, in a pretty close game with Purdue, you know, took care of business there. TCU, as I mentioned, lost their game, but did enough to serve with the number three seed, and the Buckeyes are the number four seed in the playoff. The top four vote getters in the Heisman Trophy 2022, Stetson Bennett of Georgia, Max Duggan, CJ Stroud, and Caleb Williams, as I mentioned. I do think Hendon Hooker from Tennessee probably should have been invited to the Heisman Trophy, possibly even the running back Blake Corum of Michigan. But, you know, these were the top four vote getters, and usually it's the quarterback of the one of the best teams in the country. Three of these four will be in the college football playoff. So this is where we stand. We'll see. I would put the money on Caleb Williams right now. Stetson Bennett's stats aren't overly impressive, but you know, compared to the rest of these guys, but has done a nice job as the leader of the best team in the country. And I'm going to have plenty more on the college football playoffs as they near closer to New Year's Eve. But just to give you a couple brief highlights here, Georgia, Ohio State, basically a home game for Georgia in the Peach Bowl in Atlanta. This game will kick off at 8 p.m. in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, right in the heart of the South, Atlanta, Georgia. It will be on ESPN. Currently, Georgia opens as a 6.5-point favorite. And the other one, this will take place out in the desert in Glendale, Arizona, outside of Scottsdale, outside of Phoenix, but number 2, Michigan versus number 3, TCU. This is the Fiesta Bowl. Again, this game will kick off also on New Year's Eve at 4 p.m. and will kick off on ESPN. Michigan currently a 9.5-point opening favorite in this game. Now, a hypothetical someone we were talking about, I was talking about with my dad here, and he was saying he's kind of coming around on the 6-team hypothetical bracket, and this would allow you 5 of the conference champions, and then the group of 5, you would have their top champion in this bracket. Now, as an Ohio State fan, you wouldn't like this because they would be out. So you take your top conference champions, Georgia from the SEC, they would be the 1 seed here. Michigan from the Big Ten, they would be the 2 seed. Those two teams would get byes into the semifinals. Sort of like the old NFL playoffs. This is how this would look. The number 3 team would be the Clemson Tigers out of the ACC, the champ out of that league. And then the 4 seed would be the Utah Utes out of the Pac-12. Kansas State would get the Big 12 nod. So Utah and Kansas State would match up. That game would be in Utah would host that game, and then Clemson would get Tulane, and Clemson would host Tulane in a matchup to take on Michigan. Utah and Kansas State, the winner of that game would go on to face Georgia, and then you would have your typical 4-team playoff from there. So that's one hypothetical. Some people would really like this. Some people might not. Again, are you getting the 6 best teams? Not necessarily. You're not getting your Ohio States, your Alabamas, your USCs, but a lot of people would be okay with that, and that's fine. Just a difference of opinion here. So this is a hypothetical 6-team playoff. What a 12-team playoff would look like if this was, 2 years from now. So you would have your top 4 seeds based on your highest ranked conference champion. Georgia, Michigan, Clemson again, and Utah would be your top 4 seeds that would get byes based on winning their conference championship games. Your 5th seed would be TCU, and they would take on the highest ranked non-Power 5 school, Tulane, in the 5-12 matchup. The winner of that game would get Utah. Georgia would take on the winner of Tennessee and Kansas State. Kansas State would travel to Tennessee in this game, and the winner would move on to face Georgia at a neutral site. Alabama, the 7 seed, would take on USC and host USC in this game, which would be a really cool thing to see. USC Alabama match up, and then the winner of that game would take on Michigan. You would have a rematch here in the 6-11 game. You would have Ohio State hosting Penn State in this 6-11 matchup, and the winner would move on and play Clemson. So again, very hypothetical because, this is what it would look like, though, going forward in 2 years from now. So just wanted to give everybody a little bit of taste of what that might be. We're not too far from this. We're 2 years away. So this is what a 12-team playoff would look like in 2022. So here is a look at the New Year's Six slate. You got Tennessee and Clemson in the 6-7 matchup. You have Alabama and Kansas State in the 5-9 game. You have Michigan and TCU in the Fiesta Bowl, which is the semifinal. You have Georgia and Ohio State in the other semifinal. The Cotton Bowl, which will be January 2nd in Dallas. You have Tulane and USC. Should be an interesting matchup there. And a cool chance for Tulane to take on a big school there. And you have the Rose Bowl, which features Penn State and Utah. That game will be really, really, really good, I think. All right, finally, let's switch up to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are 11-1 at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in Cleveland. It is their best record since the 2015-16 season. Donovan Mitchell the other night versus the Lakers, 43 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals. That is the first game with that statistical line since LeBron did it. Just some impressive stats. Donovan Mitchell looking like an MVP-type player through the first quarter of the season for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Their overall number sitting at 16-9 on the season, third best in the Eastern Conference behind Boston and Milwaukee. And again, the Cavs have really taken care of Boston in two good matchups this year and struggled a little bit against Milwaukee. Now, injuries and who played and who didn't were factored in that. But, again, it's early in the season. We'll see where the chips fall. But the Cavs very well could be the third best team in the Eastern Conference as things stand right now. The Cavs' offensive rating is eighth best in the league. They're scoring about 114 points per 100 possessions. Their defense right now is first in the league, allowing about 107 points per 100 possessions. When you do the net rating there, that is 6.8, which is third best in the entire NBA. They're at 47, just a shade under 48%, which is ninth best field goal percentage in the NBA. Eighth best three-point percentage at about 37.5%. And shooting the ball slightly under 81%, which is sixth best free throw percentage in the NBA. Again, 11-1 at home, struggling a little bit on the road, but that's typical for a young team, 5-8 on the road, and 13-5. In the Eastern Conference, which was really great, and 4-0 in overtime games. Now, their December slate, they're through three games, 2-1 so far, kind of laid an egg in New York, but have won 2 out of 3. They take on the Kings, who are a pretty decent Western Conference team this year, and then the Thunder and Spurs this coming weekend. So those are the upcoming games. Again, the Cavs will host the Kings and the Thunder this weekend, back-to-back, Friday and Saturday, and then travel to the Spurs, who are on a really rough stretch right now. And then finally, just want to give, last year we gave the Guardians a lot of flack, if you want to say, for not spending some money. This year, they go out and sign a two-year, I believe it was a $33 million deal with Josh Bell, a Silver Slugger, will most likely be your first baseman. Josh Naylor going to platoon a little bit, more at your DH, right field, first base when needed for the Guardians. So he's not going anywhere, but you bring in a better bat, a guy that doesn't strike out a whole lot, that can put up some power numbers for you with Josh Bell. So a great signing for the Cleveland Guardians, former Pittsburgh Pirate, former Washington National, and last year played a little bit with the San Diego Padres. And hopefully some more to come. There's been rumors of Sean Murphy, the catcher from the Oakland Athletics, that could possibly be a Cleveland Guardian with a trade made here. So we'll keep you updated as we find out more. And then finally, again, we've already touched on this many times. We had Coach Pav on from Canfield the other day on our Tuesday show. So go check that out if you haven't had a chance. But again, want to congratulate Canfield and South Range. I mean, it's just a very rare feat to go out and win a state title at any level. I don't care if you're a big school, Division One, or a smaller school, Division Seven. These two schools right in the middle at D3 and D5. But South Range with a 16-0 season, Canfield with a 14-1 season, and both of these teams win state titles. And both of these teams are about 5 miles from each other. And I believe there's going to be some sort of parade to honor these players and coaches, which is well-deserved, on Route 46 there in Canfield. So congratulations again to the Cardinals and Raiders on excellent seasons. Appreciate you guys watching the 330 Sports Show on Youngstown Studio. Again, make sure to follow us on our social media pages, and we will be keep you guys updated with sports info, and we have lots more stuff coming up, especially some fun Christmas stuff, Christmas movie stuff coming up in the near future. So with that said, appreciate you guys watching, and we will talk to you soon.
Drop my needle.
Which one of you dumb sister fucking tiki torch carrying slots from the Goonies look at you? She wants to go to hide it.
This rest is mine.
Here it comes. A swing and a liner back up the middle base, hit into center. Here comes Claude.